Thanks for tuning in to the Drive On podcast, where we are focused on giving hope and strength to the entire military community. Whether you're a veteran, active duty, guard, reserve, or a family member, this podcast will share inspirational stories and resources that are useful to you. I'm your host, Scott DeLucio, and now let's get on with the show. Hey everybody, welcome back to Drive On. I'm your host, Scott DeLucio, and today my guest is Bronwyn Schweiger. And Bronwyn may be the most evocative psychotherapist you've ever heard of. Instead of fixing people's messes, her goal is to elicit feelings that people are most ashamed to have, such as hatred and rage. And she knows that even though feelings are invisible, they don't evaporate, but they get stored away in our bodies until they get processed. So in this episode, we're going to talk about how she helps other people process these emotions to break free of depression, anxiety, and a series of other mental health conditions. So with that, welcome to the show, Bronwyn. I'm glad to have you here.
Thank you, Scott. I'm glad to be here.
Yeah, absolutely. So for the listeners who maybe aren't familiar with you, could you tell us a little bit about yourself and your background?
Yeah, so I am a marriage and family therapist, licensed marriage and family therapist. And goodness, I just really love what I do, which is why I'm here, to share it with more people than just the clients I have right now. I have found that there are a lot of people who really want to do better and get better emotionally and internally and mentally. But a lot of therapists aren't very good. And that's been my personal experience as well over my lifetime. A lot of therapists aren't really good at what they do and don't really know how to help most people. So that's kind of my mission, is twofold: to help therapists to learn, and then also to help people maybe even to bypass the therapy process and get the help they need and empower them.
Yeah, and that's very true. I've talked to many people who've gone to various therapists and they've just had a bad experience and kind of turned them off from the whole therapy process altogether because of one, maybe two bad experiences. And, you know, if you, I've said this to other people before on the show, if you go to a therapist and it's not, you're not clicking with that person, they're not working well with you, you just don't feel like it's being effective, whatever the treatment is, you know, you can always ask to see another therapist. You can go find somebody who does work for you. And, you know, part of what I like to do with this show is just highlight alternative ways of thinking, alternative ways of, you know, going through therapy, because sometimes the standard, you know, treatments that people might go through that they try out, it just doesn't resonate with them. And so finding these alternatives, these little golden nuggets that are out there, to me, I think is super important, because the last thing we want people to do is just give up hope on whatever it is that they're dealing with. And, keep looking, keep searching. And so talking to you today, I think, is going to be especially helpful, because we'll be able to kind of highlight how you let people lean into the emotions that they're experiencing and how they can process those in a healthy way. And I think that's kind of the core of what you do, right?
Yeah. It's interesting. You used the word resonate just now. Mm-hmm. And that's a word I would definitely want to highlight. It's interesting, because if you look in physics and you learn about resonation and what it is to a physicist, resonation is, you know, energy is stored in within matter in vibrations, and they have to meet a frequency that allows that resonance to dissipate. And it's called, I'm getting really into this, but it's called sympathetic resonance, basically, where it's like one tuning fork is carrying a vibration or an energy. And if another tuning fork picks up on the same frequency, that's called sympathetic resonance. And it allows both of those tuning forks to now vibrate along the same frequency. And the energy from the first one is actually discharged. And that first one's energy is now free. It's dissipated. And I really believe that happens with human beings, that we need other people who resonate with us. Our feelings are kind of like that stored energy vibrating inside of us.
Sure.
And what's shareable is bearable. So when we put our feelings into words and we feel like someone validates us and hears us and believes us and understands us, and we feel understood and we feel like we're not alone in those feelings, that's sympathetic resonancy and or resonance, and that sets us free. It really does.
Well, I want to get more into this in just a minute, but we're going to cut to a quick commercial break. And when we get back, we'll talk more about this, and we'll talk about how you help people express their deeply buried feelings and things along those lines, and get them out and share them in a healthy way. So stay tuned.
This message is from the U.S. Department of Veterans Affairs. Veterans, note the upcoming August 10th date to apply for PACT Act benefits. The law expands benefits for veterans exposed to burn pits and toxics while serving. If you apply before that date and VA grants your application, VA will likely backdate your benefits to the date of the bill signing, August 10th, 2022. This means VA will pay you the amount you would have received from August 10th, 2022 to the date we grant your application. If you're not ready to submit a claim by then, you can submit an intent to file and still receive the same effective date. Learn more at va.gov/pact.
So, Bronwyn, I want to talk a little bit now about the way that you help people get their emotions out and get these feelings that maybe they suppress for so long, get them out, like anger and the rage and all those things, and how you work with them to process these things.
Yeah. So the resonance that I just mentioned, is it needs to be shared, but it also needs to, and it needs to be validated. And a lot of us feel very ashamed of our feelings. We were taught growing up, maybe not explicitly with words, but we were taught it was shameful to feel hatred or anger or rage. Those are bad, shameful feelings. So the first place I start is, you know, doing what I call psychoeducation, letting people know that there's no such thing as a good or bad feeling. There's no such thing as a right or wrong feeling. Feelings cannot be wrong. They are illogical by nature. They're not thoughts, they're feelings, and they're not voluntary, they're involuntary. So why are we judging them like they're voluntary? They're not actions. Our feelings are not actions. We can judge someone's actions. We can hold ourselves accountable to a certain standard of actions, but not our feelings. Feelings just are feelings. And humans have the full spectrum of feelings. We can feel, and we do in fact feel, love and hate, often for the same person all at once. If we're honest, you know, I work with mothers that have cute little babies and they're like, I should be feeling more grateful. And I'm like, why are you shitting on yourself right now? It's okay to feel like your life just got stolen right out from under you. I mean, that's how all moms feel if we're honest. And all moms resent the hell out of their children if we're honest for a while. I mean, come on. That's just human nature. Let's stop judging our feelings and just know they're valid. They're there for a reason. They're not shameful. To feel hatred, to feel rage, is not shameful. It's actually very human.
Yeah, it is. And it's interesting because I never really thought about it until you just said this, but how you can have two polar opposite feelings for the same person at the same time, where like a mother, like you just said, like a mother loves their child, but they could hate the fact that they're waking up at 2 o'clock in the morning screaming, you know, yeah, that they're hungry or that they, you know, need a diaper change, or they can feel all these, maybe not hatred, maybe that's a little bit strong for that, but maybe they
resentment
is certainly something that they might feel, right?
Of course. Yeah.
And so, yeah, you can have those two different things. And I suppose the love is what gets them out of bed to go and take care of them. Right. Mm-hmm. And they want to take care and make sure that they're happy and healthy and provided the best that they can get. But at the same time, you can feel that resentment, like, oh man, I really wish I could get back to bed, but you know, I got to be up with this baby at this point. And it, you can come up with, you know, hundreds of examples of that type of thing where, you know, you have all these different emotions. But I guess, you know, for me, I think one of the things that I've noticed in my life and other people that I've talked to is that sometimes you're just not in a good place to express whatever emotions it is that you might be having. And so you find a little closet somewhere deep down inside and you shove it all in there and you close the door and you lock it and you kind of forget about it for a little while. And then you maybe just forget about it altogether, but it's still there. And you may have other things and you put more stuff in that closet, more stuff and more stuff. And eventually that closet the door's not closing. And it starts boiling over. How do you deal with these kind of repressed emotions, maybe, if that's the right word, the things that you're just keeping deep down?
Well, I would say most of those emotions that you're referring to are anger.
Yes.
Or some type of anger. So we do sequester them or attempt to. Absolutely. We compartmentalize and we create all these defense mechanisms, and defense mechanisms can be like addiction, but they can also be any compulsive behavior. Hoarding, OCD, disordered eating are all compulsions. I have clients who will just think about other people and feel empathy for others in an effort to distract them from their own feelings. So anything can be a defense mechanism,
right?
Anything and everything. And that anger seeps out. It seeps out. We try to bottle it up and compartmentalize it, like you're saying, and it seeps out into things like self-harm, where we internalize it onto ourselves. Depression, anxiety are just both internalized anger. They're suppressed anger that ends up turning inward on us. In fact, I would argue psychosis, mania, all of the mental health issues, disorders are actually suppressed anger that we take out on ourselves because we're not feeling legitimate or healthy or strong enough to direct it at the true source. Now, the true source might be a parent, if we're honest. Sure. For most people, it is a parent. And we're afraid because, one, we feel like to unsuppress our anger would mean being violent and rageful, and it would just, you know, be destructive. So that's one reason. And two is we're afraid to lose that person if that is a parent. And the minute we've experienced in our childhood, we've experienced their abandonment or their threats of abandonment or rejection of us when we show any sign of displeasure with them. Mm-hmm. So those are reasons we keep it under wraps. And then we judge it and we feel shameful too. But as far as, you know, anger, I like to say that anger's like fire. It can burn down a house when it's out of control. Absolutely. It can annihilate when it's out of control. But if you put fire in a fireplace where it's contained, it actually keeps the whole house warm and lit. We don't appreciate that as much today, living in our modern times with electricity. But there was a day where people could not live without a fire pit or a fireplace or a hearth. And fire can destroy, yes, but it can also purify. It can also purify and refine. So fire in a healthy, contained place is essential for life, just like anger, when it's channeled in a healthy way, is essential for our health. I myself have struggled with very serious depressive episodes in my life that were absolutely debilitating. And, you know, I talk about this on my podcast. Looking back in retrospect, I can see every single one of my depressive episodes began with me suppressing my anger. And it just kind of making it, it just kind of sinks down into your body. And it's a way to dissociate really from your anger, because I didn't feel entitled to have my anger or validated or safe to be angry or to assert myself really and have boundaries. I didn't feel safe to do that. And that has caused me, it's cost me a lot. And I don't want anyone else to have to go the same route.
No, absolutely. And I think, and correct me if I'm wrong here, I'm not a mental health expert myself, but with people who are suffering from depression, they sometimes don't experience a wide range of emotions, the highs, the lows. They're kind of confined to somewhere in that middle ground, right? And so maybe, like you were saying earlier, it's sort of a defense mechanism, but maybe it's just because that those angry emotions or the whatever the negative emotions are that they may have been feeling, maybe were so bad that they kind of just don't want those to come back. And so they are like, okay, well, I'm going to just stick to this nice, happy, safe zone here and not venture too far outside of that. I mean, is that kind of what's happening with people with that?
I don't know if it's that conscious. It might be in some cases. Sure. With me, it certainly wasn't. With me, I just didn't feel entitled to be angry, and I didn't know how to assert for myself.
Interesting. Okay. Yeah. No, it was just as you were talking, it was just kind of a thought that came to me. It was like, maybe this is just a way of doing that. Maybe it's conscious. Maybe it's not. Maybe it's just a subconscious way of like, I didn't like that, so let's not go back down that road and, that type of thing. But, who knows? It could be a wide range of things. But you were talking about some of the consequences of keeping these things deep down and how they can boil over and, turn into things like, substance abuse and other things like that, other coping mechanisms, which ultimately are more destructive than dealing with it in a healthy way, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, it leaks out. That anger leaks out, whether it's in self-harm like addiction, or it leaks out on the people who least deserve it in our lives.
Right.
We can all attest to that. It leaks out. It leaks out when we're driving our cars down the freeway and we're now projecting all our anger onto that person who just cut us off.
Right.
It leaks out in lots and lots of ways.
And it's a terrible place to be when you're behind the wheel of literally a deadly weapon and you're having no place else to let this anger, this rage, vent out into. And you now are dealing with a road rage situation. And, that's where people get seriously injured. They get killed. And, nobody, in a calm, cool, collected mind, nobody in their right mind is going to say, yeah, I want that to happen. Like, let me go get behind the wheel and go run somebody off the road because that sounds like a great time. But we're not thinking 100% clearly when we're in that situation, right?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I think when it comes to driving, well, I believe all humans need to feel powerful. And if we don't feel powerful in our lives, we will find that power in other ways. And I think a lot of people find the only power they have in accelerating their car.
Yeah, that's true. With that, that's a good place to take a quick break. We're going to take another quick commercial break. When we get back, we're going to talk about sharing some of these traumatic experiences or things that may have happened in our lives and how that might help us in the healing process. So stay tuned. Calling all passionate patriots. The Patriot Box is a testament to our love for this great nation we call home. Funded by veterans, they believe in celebrating the values that built America. Courage, imagination, and unrelenting determination. The Patriot Box curates hand-selected boxes packed with useful, fun, and delightful American-made products carefully chosen to honor our forefathers and embody the spirit of our nation. Join Patriot Box's community of compatriots and receive your very own Patriot Box, a treasure chest of proudly American-made goods delivered right to your doorstep. Each box represents a celebration of American craftsmanship supporting local small businesses that embody the spirit of passionate entrepreneurs across the country. But it doesn't stop there. With every Patriot Box purchased, you're also making a difference. A portion of the proceeds goes to support veteran charities honoring those who have served our country. Join them in embracing the pride of living in the greatest country on earth. Visit the link in our show notes to learn more and get your own Patriot Box delivered with pride. So, Bronwyn, I want to talk to you about getting the traumatic experiences kind of off of our chest, taking them out of that closet that I was talking about, or the not letting that fireplace kind of spill over into the rest of the house. There's a lot of analogies that we could throw at this, but how does externalizing it, getting this out off your chest, sharing these traumatic experiences, talking to someone, a mental health professional, or maybe somebody else that maybe the anger might be directed towards. Maybe that's another way to look at it as well. How does this help in the healing process? Or in some cases, is it not helpful to talk to certain people about
that? That's a good point. I would say it's not helpful to talk to many people, unfortunately. So we were talking about resonance and people resonating with us. Right. And I think we can both attest to, a lot of people want to talk us out of our feelings, right? So if I say, I give the example, I was really going through a painful experience a few years ago, and we had moved and I didn't want to move, and we relocated, and I saw an old friend, and I started crying, and I said, I miss it here so much. And she tried to talk me out of it. She said, oh, don't be silly. Now you have two homes, and she just her intentions were really good. But she tried to talk me out of my feelings. And what I needed in that moment, which was not, of course, helpful, what I needed for her to say was, yeah, Bronwyn, I can see why you would feel so sad. I can see how lonely it is to relocate, midway through life and have to make all these new friends, and you didn't want to do that. And I can see that. So just something like that simple, most people don't know how to do, because they don't know how to do it. They don't know how powerful it is. They want to talk us out of our feelings. They speak logic, which is a completely different part of our brain. Our logic brain is, our prefrontal cortex versus our limbic brain, where our feelings are. We do it to our children. We say, don't be silly. You should feel grateful right now. We tell them what to feel, and we try to change feelings with logic. So yes, I definitely think that a lot of trauma, a lot of people get re-traumatized by trying to find attunement, which is the word there that we're looking for, is attunement, where people don't attune to us, and they in fact make us feel more ashamed and more alone and more isolated.
That's interesting. When you talk about that, that isolation, because then you, I would think that you would end up getting into this situation where you just don't want to talk to anybody about it, because it's like, okay, this one person isn't going to, resonate with me, to go back to that word. And, it's like, well, then maybe there's something wrong with me and nobody's going to resonate with me. Maybe I'm the one who has a problem. Maybe I'm the one who's wrong, or whatever the case may be, whatever you tell yourself. That seems like kind of what you're saying, right?
Well, it is. If it was really hard for me to come forward and open up and share this experience with one person, and that one person invalidates my feelings, now on top of my trauma, I'm feeling completely invalidated and like I'm not allowed or entitled to have these feelings. And so now I'm angry, and I'm feeling angry at myself, and I'm feeling angry at the world. And I have just lost whatever trust that I might've had with this person and maybe a lot of people.
Right. And that's a bad place to be. You don't want to be in that place where you don't have those people. And so let's maybe kind of flip the script here, not necessarily for the person who's dealing with the anger, or the sadness, or the whatever the emotions are that they're dealing with, but for on the other side, you come to me and you're telling me that you're upset about this move and you don't want to move. And I'm telling you, now you have two places to live and, to call home and, all this kind of stuff. And what would be a better way to handle these things in kind of a more general term. So that way, when we're dealing with people who are struggling with their emotions, how do we help them? How can we talk to them and kind of guide them in the right direction?
Yes. Well, the first is that the power of validation is the power that we have, and listening, deep listening. Deep listening means listening and then like hearing and then putting yourself in that person's shoes and feel what you think they're feeling, even if they haven't said that feeling. So for example, Scott, if you were to, you know, be opening up with me, I would reflect back and say, wow, I'm wondering if you just feel so alone and ashamed when you tell me that, right? And maybe you haven't used those words, alone and ashamed, but I'm imagining, because that's what empathy is. Empathy is putting myself in your shoes when you're telling me something and leaving myself and feeling what I think you're feeling. And then I'm naming those feelings. And now when you hear me name those feelings that you feel alone and ashamed, it gives you permission to have those feelings. And you're having those feelings and you're not alone in those feelings anymore. What's shareable is bearable. You're feeling the resonance with me. I'm on your frequency. The empathy is the frequency. So the empathy is that frequency between the two of us. Those feelings now, you're not alone in them. And then I say, yeah, I don't blame you for feeling those feelings, Scott. I think anyone would feel that way.
Now, what if there's a situation where you actually don't agree with that situation and, you know, where it's like, well, I kind of do blame you for feeling that way. Like you seem kind of like you're blowing this out of proportion. Like why are you making such a big deal out of this? And you maybe you can't see their side. Is it best to, I don't know, is it better to lie to them and just kind of validate what they're feeling or maybe just kind of work your way out of the conversation?
That's a good question. So there are people, there are many people, unfortunately, who just want to vent and play victim their whole lives. They're always the innocent victim and everyone else is the aggressor and they're just the victim of their situation. And if you have someone like that in your life and you have allowed them to vent to you over and over, you're enabling that, you're legitimizing it. So, I mean, I hear that there are people like that. But if this person is not one of those people, to your knowledge, then there's nothing to disagree on because feelings aren't something you agree or disagree on. You just validate. You just say, you just, in your mind, that empathy is saying, you know, even though I wouldn't feel that way in that situation, they did. And it might be way worse than I'm even imagining. It probably is way worse than I'm imagining. And I can't relate, but I can empathize and I can be a good listener and I can give them their feelings. And then I can ask really good questions. Like, tell me more about how you felt right then.
Right. Yeah. No, and that's a good point. And I hadn't thought about that because you did say this earlier that feelings aren't, there's no good or bad feelings. There's no right or wrong feelings. Like you feel the way you feel because you feel that, like it just is. And so, yeah, it's not like you can disagree. Like, no, you shouldn't be sad for whatever reason, or you shouldn't be angry you just are. And so, I guess when you think of it that way, it's a lot easier to validate those emotions and allow that person to feel the way that they feel, and help them kind of process through that. Right now, one other thing that I want to talk about, and, we're getting close up to a break here, so we may start it here and kind of continue after the break. But when this podcast is largely focused on military veterans or families, service members, things like that, and a lot of times, myself included, service members, we are really good at shoving those things down, those negative emotions, and we don't want to. You know, deal with them right now. So we're going to just file them away and we'll deal with them later. But then that ends up seeping out into anger issues. Maybe you bring those anger issues home. You're, you know, yelling at your spouse or your kids or, you know, whatever. And you're just unleashing at them. And you kind of alluded to this earlier, how this is something that, you know, you tend to pick on a target that doesn't necessarily deserve it. You know, what kind of advice or guidance might you have for military veterans who might be experiencing some of these anger related issues, but don't really know how to address them?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I like to tell people that anger is a natural consequence of when the real deviates from the ideal. And that's pretty much like 23 hours a day, every day. Okay. So how are you going to go through life and say, I'm not, like, I hear people say, oh, I'm not an angry person. Like, you're a breathing person. And therefore, yes, you're an angry person. We all have anger. That is a natural human phenomenon. What scares me isn't the people who are in touch with their anger. It's the people who are dissociating from it. So yeah, whenever the real and the ideal deviate, there's going to be anger. So we need to know that that is valid. That is not a shameful thing. That doesn't make you unlike other humans. If we're honest, we're all struggling with anger all the time.
That is such an interesting way to put it, where the real and the ideal deviate. I don't think I've ever thought of it that way or had it even presented to me in that way before. But I'm thinking back to all the times that big times that I've been angry at things that have happened. Definitely the reality was definitely not ideal. Yeah. Definitely not the way I had envisioned it. Things did not go as planned. That created a lot of anger. And sometimes I did exactly what I was saying before I prompted this question, is I just kind of stuffed that stuff down and ended up dealing with it later in a lot less than healthy ways than I probably should have, and sometimes it's out of necessity where you can't necessarily deal with it right now because there's something else happening right now and you have to file it away for a little bit and then you can maybe come back to it. But it's definitely, that's an interesting way to put it. I want to talk more about this after the break, but we're going to take another quick break. So stay tuned. The Hero Company is more than just a brand. It's a force of change. As a veteran-owned and operated company, they stand shoulder to shoulder with our brave servicemen and women. Their mission is to help provide service dogs for veterans suffering from PTSD, all at zero cost to them. Every purchase you make from The Hero Company helps fund this crucial initiative. They offer a wide range of products, including jewelry, apparel, keychains, stickers and decals, dog collars, and everyday carry items. It's a chance to wear your support and make a tangible difference. To date, The Hero Company has raised over $1.2 million, but their fight continues. Their goal is to raise $10 million to ensure veterans in need receive the service and companion animals that can change their lives. By buying from The Hero Company, you're not just making a purchase, you're intentionally being a hero for our heroes who need our help now. Join the mission. Visit this episode's show notes or theherocompany.co/driveon to shop and support our veterans. Together, we can make a heroic impact and honor those who fought for us. So, Bronwyn, before the break, we were talking about how anger is basically equal to a situation where the real and the ideal deviate from each other. And to me, that is just an eye-opening way of looking at things, personally, because it is really... very true in my life. And I'm sure a lot of the listeners who are thinking about this right now, probably are like, oh my gosh, yeah, it's really just a disconnect from that ideal situation, ideally we could drive down the highway and there's not going to be any traffic, especially when we're late. Right. And, when we're running a little bit late, ideally there'd be nothing. We could just fly down the highway and we'd be golden. But you get on the highway and there's a traffic jam. Or there's a construction or something that's causing it to get that little bit of boiling going on inside of you. And, there's things like that happen. Right. And it's just a matter of, how and when do we process these things? Some little inconveniences, from that little bit of a deviation. I'd imagine we could probably deal with them on the spot. But some of these bigger things, the loss of a loved one or, things like that. They're going to take a little bit of time. They're not going to just, snap your fingers and they're good to go. So, you know, what are the best ways that we can identify, you know, things that we need to work on right now, or things that we can maybe put off and work with somebody a little bit later?
Well, I would say, you know, getting back to just, you know, the level of anger. So we talked a little bit before about trauma, PTSD. You know, what I have found is it's not the situation that causes it. It is the suppressed anger from feeling betrayed that causes PTSD. It's betrayal. So it could be that we have betrayed ourselves,
okay,
or that someone that we trusted betrayed us. So if we're, you know, you're saying we're driving down the freeway and we get angry at the traffic, that's not a betrayal. It's the people, it's the betrayals that really cause the trauma. And once we are able to, again, put our anger into words at the true source of the betrayal, and feel heard and validated, that is kind of the key there. So I actually, years ago, I was on a plane for work, and I sat next to a vet who was very intoxicated, I think even before we got off the ground. He was flying back to some kind of reunion back east with guys he had been in the military with. And he just started crying at one point, telling me how he was, I forget what his position was, but he basically felt he had failed those under him who died under his watch. Mm-hmm. Like he could prevent it. Okay. It's not rational. Of course he couldn't, but he felt like he had betrayed himself. So his trauma, his PTSD was feeling angry at himself, because that's what that is, that regret is anger at ourselves, and he couldn't forgive himself. But a lot of times our trauma comes from someone else betraying us. So it's the trauma within the trauma. It's, you know, that we trusted someone to be there for us and they weren't. That is the ultimate trauma.
So it's a betrayal, right? That's kind of what you're feeling is that person who either you trusted or, you know, was in a position of authority, you know, someone who might maybe outrank you, and they were in charge of you and they didn't execute their job the way they should have, and it caused something bad to happen to you or somebody you know. And you have that sort of betrayal that goes on, and it's traumatic when you have that person that you trust, and then they break that trust, right?
Yeah. You know, when I first started out as a therapist, as an intern, I had a young woman who had PTSD from childbirth, and I found out very quickly that her PTSD from her childbirth was basically anger, suppressed anger at the nurse who kind of usurped this woman's agency from her, that ended up harming her and hurting her and hurting the delivery and the process of the birth. It could be, it is oftentimes at medical professionals. It can be, you know, in the military, at someone in authority. A lot of it is at authority, but it can also be at our parents. Mm-hmm. That's a big one, because they're both people we trust or should be. And they're also people in authority. And we often project those same betrayals onto other people if we haven't processed the betrayals by our own parents, especially people in authority.
Yeah. And that's interesting. You, the way you put that, because, you know, you always hear people talking about how they have, you know, childhood issues, and, you know, oftentimes that comes from their parents. And, you know, those parents that you have growing up, are the first authority figures that you really have in your life. Those people who are, you know, quote unquote, in charge of whatever is going on. And then later on in life, you gain more authority figures in your life. And so, you know, you get a job and you have a boss, or, you know, you're in the military and you have people who outrank you, and, you know, all these things. There's people who are in authority, and it seems like the more people there are, the more chances are that there's going to be some sort of that betrayal, because nobody's perfect. There's people are going to make mistakes. They're going to have these little slip ups here and there. And, you know, sometimes those slip ups could have devastating consequences, and that, you know, a little thing you maybe can, you know, forgive and forget. But bigger things are going to have a much more, lasting impact on you. Now I'm curious, how do we take the things that we talked about here, trying to get this validation, having somebody to listen to us, I think everybody wants that. Everyone wants their feelings to be validated. They want to have somebody who listens and puts themselves in our shoes. We may not always have that person readily available to us. How do we seek that out in people? You know, when you're making friends with people, when you're looking for a spouse or other people that you're hanging out with or whatever the case may be, are there any kind of cues, like social cues, like this person is a good person I can come and talk to as a friend, that type of thing? Is there anything like that we can kind of key into that'll kind of help us out down the line?
Yeah, that's a really good question. Not everyone is a safe person. And honestly, the older I get, the more I think there's a smaller percentage of people who are safe people in my mind, honestly. So a safe person is someone who listens, who really listens, what I call deep listening, again, without judgment, without the need to fix or give their unsolicited advice all the time. Sorry, all men, by the way.
Yeah, I was going to say guilty.
Yeah, I'm married to one of you, so I understand. So my husband and I are working on this. Just listening and listening, with empathy, with concern, without shaming us or humiliating us or ridiculing us or any of those things. But I think first and foremost, we need to be that person for ourselves, because what happens when we go through trauma, which we all do, all of us, is we abandon ourselves.
Right.
We abandon us. We betray ourselves. And so my work as a therapist is to help people come back to themselves and change their relationship to themselves, instead of hating on themselves, instead of taking out their anger on themselves, trusting themselves. And that means having empathy for themselves. So the more that I'm able to do that for myself, then I meet a new person, let's say, at work, I can listen to my gut. I can check in with my intuition. I can listen to my feelings, because I'm learning to trust myself and how that person makes me feel. And I can go, I think this might be a safe person, and I can trust myself.
And that goes back to that concept of the resonating that you were talking about before. If you're vibrating at a certain frequency, right, and that other person is matching up with you, you're going to click a little bit easier that way, right? I think that's kind of what you're getting at there. It all comes back to, I think, kind of knowing ourselves, how we talk to ourselves. We all have that inner voice. I think not everybody has that inner voice, which I heard this a little while ago, that not everybody has that little voice in the back of their head that kind of talks to them and everything. That kind of blew my mind, that I just thought that was a thing that's just always there. If you have that inner voice, it's like, how is it talking to you? Is it a jerk to you? Is it nice to you? Is it, what is it doing? What is it saying? How is it making you feel? And that voice, will will help you to kind of process some of these things. Like you were saying, you know, you want to have someone there who can validate your feelings and really listen and understand and be empathetic. And if you have that voice that's just kind of nagging you and putting yourself down and all this kind of stuff, you're not doing that with yourself. And so it makes it harder for you to be able to find that in other people, I would think, right?
Yeah. So you don't want to, if you have spent time with someone and then afterwards you're kind of second guessing yourself, that's a red flag.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Yeah, that's a red flag. So pay attention to, I don't want to sound new agey or whatever, because I'm not, but your inner wisdom. Like we all are born into the world with a conscience, with an intuition, with curiosity, with empathy, with our feelings. And we need to pay attention to that. We can't just be all up in our heads. That's not going to serve us or anyone else. So paying attention to how that person makes us feel. Now, some people are going to make us feel elated because they're playing a little game where they want to make us, to love bomb us or make us feel, you know, a certain way. And it's part of their strategy. And if we're feeling like elated, that's also a red flag. So we want to feel, when we walk away from spending time with a friend or a potential partner, we want to kind of feel just like peaceful, kind of like content. Just like that person resonated with us. Like we want to feel very at home. I would say we want to feel at home. But again, if we have a good relationship with ourselves, this is going to come much faster and more naturally. If we don't have a good relationship with ourselves, someone who's a complete narcissist might make me feel very at home because I grew up with a father who is a narcissist. So it feels very familiar and I feel very at home with this person. Right. So sure. It really comes back to our relationship with ourselves being a healthy one first.
And yeah. And understanding our own selves and our backgrounds and that type of thing. And what's going to make me feel at home. And like you said, like getting into that relationship with that narcissist is probably not going to be a great thing down the line. It may make you feel like you're at home, but you know, at home could be, you know, with an abusive person, and that's obviously not a good thing to be either. And so, yeah, you don't want any of that. We're going to cut to another quick commercial break, but when we get back, we'll wrap up and we'll talk a little bit about your podcast and where people can go to find out more about what you do. So stay tuned. Attention military veterans and families. Are you ready to conquer the civilian job market? Monster Resume Writing Service is here to support your transition. Their team of certified resume writers specializes in helping veterans like you. They'll create a custom resume that highlights your military experience, translating it into a language that civilian employers understand. They understand the unique challenges you face, from navigating career shifts to finding the right opportunities. That's why their experts will tailor your resume to your specific career goals, ensuring that you stand out from the competition. They optimize your resume with keywords to match job postings and pass recruiters' screening software. Monster Resume Writing Service is dedicated to helping you succeed. Visit the link in this episode's show notes to learn more about how they can help you take the next step in your civilian career. So, Bronwyn, you also have a podcast. You mentioned it briefly earlier. I don't think we gave the name of it, but it's Angry at the Right Things. Tell us about the show and what people can expect from it when they tune in.
Yeah, I just started it not too long ago. I just really felt like I said, I really want to get this out to more than just my clients. I really want to empower more people to reconnect to themselves and reconnect to their anger. Honestly, that sounds really weird, but so much of what I do with my clients, and my clients have all kinds of, I don't specialize in like one thing, is to get them to reconnect with their anger, know that their angry feelings don't have to be violent. That's not the goal. They don't have to destroy, but they need to be there contained, like that fire in the fireplace that keeps things safe and warm. And that anger, you know, keeps us safe. It keeps us safe from unsafe people and situations. And then channeling it, like I said, into words is really important. And those words can be assertive words, like me saying no. No is a really awesome word. It's also a complete sentence. So, you know, just helping people, you know, something like saying, that's not okay. You know, that's very assertive. That's very powerful. So that's when I say reconnect to your anger. I don't mean yell and be violent. I mean, saying to someone, you know what, that's not okay. I'm not going to allow you to do that anymore. So that kind of thing. But yeah, so my podcast just talks about all of these things, about dysfunctional empathy. I give a lot of personal experiences in my life with depression, anxiety, and again, on mental health and just how connected that is to suppressed anger in our lives and our bodies, and how it doesn't have to haunt us. It really doesn't. We don't have to live with it. And if you're going to a therapist, a lot of therapists are like, oh, well, we're going to manage the symptoms of your mental illness. They're just symptom management. And I'm like, no, let's get to the root and dig it out and set you free. Let's not waste time with symptom management. And so for me, this podcast and doing it has been extremely cathartic, because I want to help more people with the root core issues and set them free, instead of hearing so many of my clients come to me and they'll tell me like what the last therapist said and did. And I'm like, oh my God, this is making me angry. So yeah.
Well, and that's great. And I think, you know, getting to the root cause of any problem is the best way to go. Dealing with the symptoms, you know, yeah, maybe temporarily it feels good, but it's not ultimately long-term going to, you know, solve anything. So, yeah, I think that's really the way to go. So for the listeners, go check out Angry at the Right Things podcast. And you can, I'm assuming you can get that anywhere that you typically listen to podcasts.
Anywhere.
And so, yeah, go check that out. Bronwyn, it's been an absolute pleasure speaking with you today. You know, some of these things, you know, gave me a lot to think about. Hopefully the listeners too. And hopefully this will help people kind of rethink, rewire kind of the way they think about dealing with anger and, you know, other emotions along those lines. So thank you again for taking the time to come on.
You're welcome.
Really appreciate it.
Thank you for having me, Scott. I appreciate it.
Thanks for listening to the Drive On podcast. If you want to support the show, please check out Scott's book, Surviving Son, on Amazon. All of the sales from that book go directly back into this podcast and work to help veterans in need. You can also follow the Drive On podcast on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, YouTube, and wherever you listen to podcasts.